Grab your Bibles with me and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. Matthew, chapter 6. Last week we talked about putting Jesus at the center, and we didn't even have this service, so you probably showed up at 10 o'clock, and that's why you're probably a little bit sleepy, because it's the first time you had to get up at 8:30 in a while again. But we're going to be talking about In God We Trust. Someone say, In God We Trust. You know, it's written on every single piece of currency in the United States. You can find from a penny to a $100 bill, you will find the words, In God We Trust. And by putting Jesus at the center of our life, it needs to be a statement, a life statement for us that in God we trust. If He's the center of our life, we have to trust Him with every area, not just our marriage, not just our life, not just our salvation, but our finances, our health. The list goes on and on and on. And let me just say this before I jump to this message. We're going to be dealing with money today. And I've never in the whole time I've been a pastor of this church talked about money like I'm about to talk about it today. And so I just want you to know, if you're a first time guest, this is not something I preach every week. This is not something that I drill in our church. We're not a money hungry church. But if we're going to put Jesus at the center, if we're going to say, God, I want you to have all of my life, then we've got to get down to the nitty gritty of things and really test and see our heart if He really is the center of our life. I'm going to show you what I mean by that. Matthew chapter 6, you there? Here we go. Teaching about money and possessions. It says this in verse 19. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, the desire of your heart will also be. I'm going to pause it real quick. Wherever your treasure is, the desire of your heart will also be. So what Jesus is saying is your treasure is connected to your heart. Let me say that again. Your treasure is connected to your heart. So whatever you love, your money, your resources will follow. Let me prove it to you. Okay, so let's say you're falling in love with a guy or a girl, you're dating, and you're in this new relationship. Do you know that money is no longer even a matter? Come on, don't act all, I'm talking about money, don't get all hocus pocus on me and act all bah humbug. You know what I'm talking about? Remember the day when we used to call people long distance and it actually cost to call people long distance? You remember that? Remember you used to call people collect? You remember those days where actually paid, where we just couldn't just pick up our cell phone and dial anybody in the whole wide world in to be free on our plan? Remember actually cost us? There's some of us that were in relationships and let your spouse be out of town or let the girlfriend you're talking to be out of town. You don't care how much your phone bill was. You're just going to call and stay up all night and talk on the phone. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Come on, ladies, you spent extra money on your makeup looking all good for your man because you was trying to win him over. And men, come on, you bought roses. You ain't bought them for the past 10 years since you've been married. You took her out to eat. You went to dinner. You know what I'm saying? You cleaned your car. You know, you actually detailed your car. You know what I'm saying? Like, money wasn't even an option. You know what I'm saying? When you love something, where your treasure is, your heart will be. If you're a fisherman, we can tell you love fishing because money's not an option. You're going to buy the best pole and you're going to buy all the little flaming torch stuff so you can see at night, and you're going to get all the offspring. You're going to get, you know, if shoes are what you love, come on somebody, I love shoes. I got like 30 plus pairs. I ain't even lying. And I like to add to my collection. Where your treasure is, your heart will be, it's connected. Let me say that again. It's connected. You can't say I love something, but your treasure not follow it. Let me prove it to you. You love your kids, right? You love your kids. Let your kids be in a dire situation. Money's not an option. If your kid's health was failing and you needed a heart transplant, you will go John Q on them. I will sell my house. I will sell my car. Anything for my baby to live another day. Money is not an option because I love my son so much. It doesn't matter what it costs. I'll sell anything. Whatever you got to do, I'll work for the hospital the rest of my life. Please. Anyone know what I'm talking about? See, we're going to do a real heart check this morning, because a lot of us give God all the credit, but we don't give him none of our cash. And we say we love God, but our treasure is connected to our heart. And a great indication of how much you, not how much you love something, but a great indication of if you love something, your treasure will always be connected to it. Your eye is a lamp that provides light to your whole body, but when your eye is good, your whole body will be filled with light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body will be filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep is that darkness? You know what it's talking about? It's still talking about money. If you have a generous eye, your whole light will be generous. If you don't have a generous eye, if you're stingy, if you're greedy, then everything will be dark. And then it goes on to say, and if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep is that darkness? Basically, you're fronting. You're acting like you love God, but you really don't. And this is what the Bible says. Watch what Jesus says. No one can serve two masters. For you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and what? Now, he could have said anything. He could have said you can't serve God and the devil. He could have said you can't serve God and your boss. He could have used any verbiage he chose, but he chose money because money is often the number one thing that we won't let go of. It's easy to blame stuff on the devil. It's easy to blame stuff and go, okay, I'm not going to serve the devil. But then when it comes to our money, everyone gets funny. That's why there's this awkward silence in the building, because we're about to touch some chords in people's lives that we haven't touched in a long time. And it's really going to reveal your heart. Now, once again, I'm talking to Christians, people who love Jesus. And the reason why I'm saying that is because at our church, we have a firm belief that we will love God with our entire life, and we will love the people that he died for. And if we're going to love God and we're going to love people, it's going to take our resources, our time, our treasure in order to reach a city. So we come to God saying, God, we give you this first because we love the people that you're bringing us. So if you're a guest today, that's why we're about giving to God, because we want to make sure you hear something awesome about Jesus. That's why we give to God, because we want to make sure 5,000 kids get backpacks this year. That's why we give thanks to God, because we want to make sure we can go to 1,000 homes in our city next Christmas and give gifts out. Why? Because we love God enough to say, God, we trust you. In God we trust, and we trust that you're building your church, and we want to be a part of what you're doing, and our heart will be connected to our treasure. We're just getting started, so I got to move faster. We're running out of time. Luke chapter 16. If you're faithful in little things, you'll be faithful in large ones. But if you're dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with great responsibilities. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? And if you're not faithful with other people's things, someone should circle that. Other people's things. We're going to talk about other people's things. If you're not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? Here it is again. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The Pharisees, who dearly loved their money, heard all this and scoffed at him. And then he said this, and then this is what Jesus said to the religious people. You like to appear righteous in public, but God knows your hearts. Basically what he's saying is God knows your hearts, and God can check your heart to see where your treasure's at, because wherever your treasure is, your heart will be also. I'm just saying, wherever your treasure's at, you can front and say, well, I don't like movies. Let me see your Blockbuster bill. Well, I don't really love fast food. Really? Let's see how many times you've been to McDonald's. Your money won't lie to you. You can lie to yourself, but your money will reveal the true character of your heart. Because when your heart is invested in something, money is of no option. I love gadgets, so guess what? You're going to buy all the latest gadgets, and your stewardship is going to suffer in another area because you're going to be so devoted to one. I love sports. You can tell people who love sports. You want to know why? Because they invested in the hat. They invested in the jersey. They invested in the cable so they can watch it. They invested in the game. They invested in the blanket. I mean, Ben Esquivel got Dallas Cowboys underwear. Just a big old star on the butt. I don't know. I haven't been to his house. But he's a sold-out Dallas Cowboys fan. How do you know? Because he wears all that stupid stuff every day. I hate the Dallas Cowboys. in God we trust. Do you trust God? And I ask you that again. Do you trust God? You might not know yet, but we're about to find out. Here we go. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 through 12. We're just getting warmed up. You ready? A call to repentance. Someone say repentance. Now, repentance shouldn't be a curse word in the church. It's actually a good thing. It's where we trade our belief on something for God's belief. We say, God, I'm going to trade what I think about it for what you said about it. Are you with me? That's what we do when we repent. When we repent of sin, we're saying, okay, God, my idea of sex before marriage, I'm going to trade it for your idea for saving myself for the person that you set up for me to marry. Okay? So repentance is really not just saying I'm sorry to God. Repentance is where you trade your belief for his belief. There's a great exchange that happens. Are you with me? Okay? So God's talking about money. Here it goes. Verse 6. I am the Lord and I do not change. That is why your descendants of Jacob are not already destroyed. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you have scorned my decrees and failed to obey them. Now return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of heaven's armies. But you ask, how can we return when we have never gone away? Should people cheat God? This is God talking. Should people cheat God? Yet you have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? You have cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. Now, you got to catch the verbiage due to me. Now, we're going to get into this because some of you are going to go, well, that's Old Testament. I don't believe in the law. Well, whatever. You can believe whatever you want to believe. I'm going to show you some stuff in Scripture and you can argue about God later, okay? It says about due to me. The tithe, okay, God, first we have to understand God owns everything. Are you catching this? God owns everything. The fullness and which thereof. He owns everything. The stars, the moon, the sun. None of us can take ownership on that. Any gift, talent, ability that you have in your body, God deposits that in you. God owns everything. Say everything. Everything was created for him and by him. He owns everything. And so he's saying, you have robbed me by not bringing what was due to me. Now the tithe, for those of you that don't know, was a percentage. It's actually a 10% that the people, God would say, bring me the first of what your increase would be and bring 10% into my house. He's going to talk about that so that there'd be food for my people. Basically, so that the work of the kingdom can continue to be advanced. Not so the pastor could buy a new Porsche. Not so we can brag about who's got the most money, but that the work of the ministry would actually be happening. Now watch this. And so God's saying, you have robbed me of what is due to me. The tithe is not an offering. It's God's. God's saying, bring back to me what is due to me. I gave you everything. Bring back to me what's due to me. An offering is anything above and beyond that. I could go on for this for weeks. Here we go. Verse 9. You are under a curse, for the whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes. How much? Okay, all the tithes. You don't get to designate where your tithe goes. You can't go, well, I'm going to give 5% to the American Way. I'm going to give 3% to Sweet Life. And then I'm going to give 2% to the local church. No, it's bring how much? All 10% into the storehouse. So we bring all of it to God and God uses it. And we're going to get into this trust thing, because if we trust God with our resources, we're going to trust he put the people in the right place to make sure that the resources are well managed. And I apologize for organizations and churches and pastors who's got before the people and laundered their money and basically sinned against God by taking advantage of the people. That's not our kind of church. You're going to see that here in a moment. But that's not our heart. That's not our intention. And I apologize if you've ever been a part of something like that, where some person in ministry got up before you and said, hey, bring me the money. And you brought the money and he went and did something stupid with it. And I just want you to know that at our church, we got a high accountability rate. We know. I have a staff of 14 people that know everything that's happening in our church. There's nothing that I just can't go buy a new Porsche tomorrow because I felt like it. No, everything is done in structure, in order. We have everything dotted out and we have all our financial records and we are not keeping anything a secret. If you wanted any information about what any dollar, we can print out a form for you today and you'd have every reason to see where it all went. There's no hiding here. But it says this. It says, bring all of it into the storehouse so there'll be food, enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heavens, I will open up the windows of heaven for you and I will pour out a blessing so great you won't even have room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. And then all the nations will call you blessed, for the land will be such a delight, says the Lord of the armies. Basically, what God's saying is this. If you will trust me first, I will guard and protect the other 90% that I left you to be a great steward of. And I'm going to show you something real quick, because I want you to understand the reason of why it's first, okay? Exodus chapter 13. We're moving. Exodus chapter 13. Starting in verse 12. You are to give over to the Lord the first offspring of every womb. All the firstborn males of your livestock belong to the Lord. Let me say that again. All the what? Firstborn males of your livestock belong to the Lord. Redeem with a lamb every firstborn donkey, but if you do not redeem it, break its neck. Redeem every firstborn among your sons. I just want to put this in context for you. So here's what would happen. Back in the Old Testament days, they did not have a money system. Their currency would be stock, livestock, fruits, vegetables, things that they would grow, things that they would reproduce. And here's God, and God says this. From the first of every born male, the one who gives seed to grow, from the first of every male that's born, it's mine. It all belongs to the Lord. Anything that has the ability to produce all belongs to the Lord. He says this, so every firstborn, you can either do two options. You can either redeem it by giving a lamb in its place, or you got to break its neck. Let me tell you what that means. That means the first 10% is God's either way. Did you catch that? It either had to be redeemed or break its neck. Let me say that again. If you break an animal's neck, it's no good for nothing. So either you redeem it or the neck's broken. So for instance, firstborn all belongs to the Lord. So basically, let me put this. Anything in the Old Testament is a depiction of Jesus. I just want you to understand that. So here we go. Because we were all born into sin, God had to take a firstborn lamb to redeem. And if it's not redeemed, break its neck. Let me tell you what that means. Jesus, God sent Jesus as a spotless lamb to redeem us. And if we do not get redeemed, you break its neck and we go to hell. Our necks literally don't get broken. But I want you to understand this. The only way you can bless the rest is it being redeemed by something. You want your finances to be blessed by the rest, you have to redeem it with the first portion given to God. If you don't redeem it, the rest isn't blessed. That's why you can't give God your second. That's why you can't give God what you want. Because what you want can't redeem it. It has to be the first and the best. And when you bring your first and your best, the rest is redeemed. But if you don't bring your first or your best, the rest isn't redeemed. It's under a curse. Are you catching this? Now watch this. I want to show you something about our church. You can go ahead and put it up there. You might be hard to read. I understand the text didn't translate. But this is our church records of what has happened with people who say they love Jesus and are called according to his purposes. Now, for any person that's ever given anything in our church, we have it all on documentation, unless you gave via cash, which we cannot trace that money because we don't know where it came from. Now, at the very top of this section over here, it would say, based on our whole year's average attendance of adults, there's 557 adults in our church on an average of basis. The first two lines show that someone have given anything from $500 or less a year. Now, $500 or less would be $50 a month or less. $99 to zero equals either money we can't trace or people who literally gave $99 or zero. Those two numbers equal 75% of our church. I want you to catch this. 75% of our church is giving God nothing. Here's why I will unashamedly preach these messages. Because we can't front like God got our heart if he doesn't have our treasure. I'm talking to Christians, people who say they love Jesus, people who say they believe in his purpose, say they believe in building his church, say that they want to see the kingdom advance, say they want to see their family saved, say they want God to bless their life, say that Jesus is the center of their life. Now watch this. Here we go. This number 1,500 to 3,900, that would be considered a tithe because most people make anywhere from minimum wage, probably like $12 to $1,500, depending on your average income. That would be considered a tithe. So 9%, basically 10% of our church, maybe a little bit more than that, is tithing. And you can see the breakdown. There's not a bunch of big givers. Matter of fact, this column right here that's got 4 through 10,000, there's 8 people that have gave in that category, and 7 of those 8 are under $5,000. I don't know anybody who gave anything. I don't know the records of any names or anybody. All they gave me was numbers because I don't need to know your business. But I want you to know mine because I believe it's, I want you to understand I'm so passionate about this because I believe in it. Right here it says this, the Carter's total giving for last year, not counting the big give, not counting backpack stuff, was $14,125. I don't say that to brag, but that puts us at the number two giver of our church. And I know I don't make the most money. I don't make $150,000, by the way. What I'm saying is, God's got my heart. And I'm not ashamed to say that. And I'm not, I want you to understand, I don't want you to think I'm bragging, but I don't ever want you to walk out this building acting like, well, you know, that's easy for the pastor to say. I bet he's not giving nothing. Well, that's easy for them to say. No, we make sacrifices in our life because we want to build and advance this church. It's not about an issue of money. Now watch this, it gets worse. Because that's not good. Our numbers have increased to 750 people in the last 3 months. As you can tell, 80-90% of our church doesn't tithe. And then this even gets even worse because then we go over to our members. Our members who went through a class that said, I'm going to serve, I'm going to be available, and I'm going to contribute to building the kingdom. People who sign a documentation, a covenant, say, you know what, I'm all in, I'm planted here, and I'm going to give. And out of our members, look at this, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80% are not tithing. I know we don't like to talk about this, but if 80% of our marriages were failing, wouldn't you want me to say something? If 80% of our kids were hooked on drugs, wouldn't you want me to say something? If 80% of something was on, wouldn't you want me to say something? I know this doesn't sit well, but we can't front like God got our heart if he doesn't trust him with your treasure. You can't say, God, you got all of me, but don't you dare touch my money, because wherever your heart is, your treasure will also be. They're connected. So we don't have a money issue at our church. We have a heart issue. It's not about money. It's about the heart. See, people always want to argue about, well, they just want my money. No, God wants your heart. Well, how could God want my heart if he wants my treasure? Because the things you love, you will unconsciously give to. Don't front like God has your heart if he can't trust you, if you can't trust him with your treasure. Here's another one. It's impossible to give without loving. It is possible to give without loving, but it is impossible to love without giving. You can give to something and not love it. But if you love something, you have to live a life of generosity. You have to be a giver to it. You can't say you love something, but you don't give. You know, at this time, I just want to give you about 9 different excuses of what people have about church, so I can expose the lie of the devil. You ready? Excuse number 1. It's mine. I earned it. I worked hard for it. Here's the truth. God gave you your talent, your skill, and your job. It's not yours. It's all his. Every dollar is his. Every dollar is his for his use to build his kingdom, to reach his people. And our attitude is, Jesus, you can have all of me, not just a portion. I know we don't like this, but you can hate me on the way out. Number 2, I would give, but I don't have much already. I can't afford to give. Truth, you can't afford not to. Be honest, is it I can't afford or I won't? Let's just be honest. Is it I can't or I won't? And 9 times out of 10, it's I won't. Because here's the truth. You can't afford not to give. Because if God owns everything and he's going to protect the 90% from the hand of the devourer, and he's going to bless you overflowing. He even says, try me, test me in this. Then your attitude of I can't afford to give is robbing you of the blessing, because the rest isn't redeemed. The rest is under a curse. And if it's under a curse, you can't get out from under the hole you dug yourself into. But if you trust God in the beginning and say, God, I trust you first, then he goes, I'll take care of you, and then he'll promote you, then blessing will come your way, then God will give you a better job. This isn't a name it, claim it message. It isn't giving the offering and the check's going to come in the mail. No. Give in the offering and God's going to give you a wonderful job and you're going to be prosperous and drive a Mercedes-Benz. No. What will happen is he'll take care of everything that needs to be taken care of in your life. And he'll make sure that the 90% that you have left will be stretched and it will grow, because those that are faithful with little will be ruler over much. But if you can't be faithful with someone else's money, remember that? If you can't be faithful with someone else's things, isn't it God's things? I know we don't like this. Here's an excuse. When I get it, then I'll give it. You ever heard that? Well, you know, one day I'm going to hit the lotto. When I hit the lotto, I'm going to give a big amount. Well, you know, when I get a better job, then I'll start. When I get it, then I'll give it. Here's the truth. When never ends and then never comes. You will keep saying when and then will never come. Every person that told me when I win the lotto, I never saw someone win the lotto and gave money to the church yet. If we give, then we won't be able to. Well, what if, you know, what if the stock market goes bad? What if we lose our job and we're given to the Lord? Here's the truth. God will supply all of your needs if you put him first. If you put him first. Here's one. I don't give money, but I will give my time. Truth. Obedience is better than sacrifice. You can't make up for not giving God your heart. Your heart is attached to your treasure. I'm going to put this in practical terms. So let's say this. Let's say your wife comes home and she says, hey, babe, I just want you to know, I cheated on you 50 times this week. I had sex with 5 other guys last night. But I did extra dishes. I washed the clothes. And I cleaned the house. And I washed your car 3 times this week. I'll make it up to you. See how dumb that sounds? All of us are going, oh, heck no, you can't make it up to me. But that's some of our attitude. Well, I'm not going to give to you, God, but I'll serve. So you're going to rob God of what's his and then try to make it up to him by standing at the door? All firstborns belong to who? God. I know some of you are finding yourself in these excuses. Here you go. I don't know what the church is going to do with my money. Here's the truth. You just want to be greedy and blame it on the preacher. You will trust us with your soul, but you won't trust us with your pocket. That's dumb. That's stupid. You come week after week and trust us that we're going to lead you into righteousness in heaven, but you don't trust us with your money? That's stupid. That's silly. Come on. You really, are you, listen to what you're saying. Oh, I love when Pastor Me comes. The worship is so amazing. Oh, God is so good in my life, but I don't trust him with my money. You trust us to help you get to heaven, but you don't trust, that's stupid. That's dumb. I would give, but it looks like they don't need it. You know, they got a big screen and they got, you know, a nice carpet and they're doing all kinds of stuff and so they don't need it. Let me tell you something. Let me give you a little secret to our success. We got champagne taste on a beer budget. We built this screen for $130. There's a plywood and fabric. This ain't even a real screen. And just to blow your bubble before you get mad at us, we got 2 more going on the sides that just got built. They'll be here in February. What are you talking about? We don't need it. Are you serious? Here's the truth. We don't need your money, but God wants your heart. We don't need it. Let me tell you, I don't need your money. We don't need your money. God will supply it because we trust him first. He's going to supply it with or without you. You act like you ain't got enough money to supply us anyway. Acting like your money's the biggest amount in the whole wide world. Are you serious? You saw the statistics. 80% of you ain't giving nothing. Are you serious? But yet we love God and we want to reach our city and we want God to change our life and we want to put Him first in our marriage and we want to put Him first in all these things. So God is so good. But you know, they don't need my money. Do you know half of the teachers pay for all their lessons? And everything that's been done in this church has been done with volunteers. You're silly. I give every now and then and when I feel like it. You're a sporadic giver. Just when I feel the goosebumps. Truth, a real relationship can't survive on an every now and then. Well, babe, I'll come home every now and then. Well, son, I'll show up in your life every now and then. How many of us have been damaged by an every now and then parent? How many of us have been damaged by every now and then kind of people? But we want a real relationship with Jesus, but we only want to pop in every now and then. Come on. I wanted to, and I was going to, but remember that? Well, I wanted to give to the backpack thing. I was going to. But, well, I wanted to give, but good intentions get you nowhere. Well, babe, I wanted to clean the house. I was going to. Well, mom, I was going to clean my room. I thought about it. I was going to hit the gym. I was going to stop eating junk food. But them french fries are something else. Can you see that? Good intentions get us nowhere. Good intentions get you nowhere. And here's the truth. In all honesty, some of you are going to walk away really mad today. And you're going to say stupid stuff. Like, I knew that. I knew there was something wrong with that church. I knew they're all about our money. See, babe, I try to tell you that. See, I knew it. I knew it there was going to be. I knew it was going to come. You know what's happening? It's God's revealing your heart. You don't like it. Once again, if you're a guest in here, we don't want you to give a dollar. This is our house. We're going to supply it for you. But those of us that call this our house, how dare you say it's your house and not take ownership and make excuses like it's someone else's job. And those of you that have been given, don't you feel bad and start giving more because you feel bad. No, you keep doing what God tells you. You don't try to overcompensate for someone else's cheating God. No way. Those of you that have been given, thank you. Those of you that have been tithing, thank you for being faithful. But you don't need to thank you for me because God's been blessing you and has been marked all over your life. Here we go. The rich man, Mark chapter 10. As Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him, knelt down and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to have inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked. "Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," the man replied, "I've obeyed all these commands since I was young." Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. Catch that. Jesus felt genuine love for him. Catch that. Jesus felt genuine love for him. "There's still one thing you haven't done," he told him. "Go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor. Then you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." At this, the man's face fell and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Basically, he said, "God, you can have all these other surface things, but you can't have my heart." Some of you walk away today like that rich young man, going, "God, you can have anything else, but don't you dare touch my money." The truth is, he doesn't have any of you. And the truth is, until God, watch this, until you have complete surrendering of your pocket, oftentimes there are other areas that you're not surrendering either, because you're not all in. You're not all in. When you're all in, it changes your whole life. Because I give to this church, I want to make sure it looks nice and clean and people's lives are really being changed and that we are really using money to successfully build and advance the church. And I'm trying to lead the way the best I can. But the truth is, some of you can way outgive me. And some of you aren't giving anything at all. And some of you will leave like this rich young man. Preston, if you can come. Watch this. It keeps on saying this. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God?" This amazed man. But Jesus said again, "Dear children, it is very hard to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, it is easier for a camel to go through the eyes of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were astounded. "Then who in the world can be saved, Jesus?" they asked Jesus. And Jesus at them looked intently and said, "Humanly speaking, it's impossible. But now, not with God. Everything is possible with God." Then Peter began to speak up. "We've given up everything to follow you." Did you catch that? Everything. "Yes," Jesus replied. "And I assure you that everyone who has given up house, or brothers, or sisters, or mother, or father, or children, or property for my sake and for the good news will receive now in return 100 times as many houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and property, along with persecution. And in the world to come, that person will have eternal life." Have you given up everything? You know, for many, many years, I used to have a hard time. I never liked to. I still, even this morning, when worship was going on, I was talking myself out of not preaching this message. Dead serious. Because I've always hated the tone that the church can have about you need to be a giver. Because I always felt like it was an arm twisting system to get people to buy into what you're trying to do. Let me tell you something. We're not going to take an offering at the end of the service. We're not asking to give more tonight. We're not trying to buy something special. The church is not going under. But then when I realized that our treasure is connected to a heart, and I saw the numbers, what it said to me is, we honor God with our lips, but our hearts are far from Him. And so I will unapologetically preach these messages over and over because it's an indicator that He has your heart. It's not about money. It's never been about money. It's always been about your heart. And we can't front like God got all of us if He doesn't have our treasure. Remember in Exodus, remember we talked about the firstborn has to be redeemed or you got to break its neck? That same chapter, chapter 13, verse 14 to 16, it says this. Right afterwards, this is right after what I read before. "In the days to come, when your son asks you, 'What does this mean? What does that killing of the lamb and what does that redeeming and that breaking of the neck of the animal mean?' Say to him, 'With a mighty hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed the firstborn of people, both animals in Egypt. And this is why I sacrifice to the Lord the first male offspring of every womb and redeem each of the firstborn sons. And it will be like a sign on your hand and a symbol on your forehead that the Lord brought us out of Egypt with his mighty hand.'" Now, some of y'all, I'm going to break this down simply. So basically, what it's saying is, there's going to come a day. Now, mind you, we're going back Old Testament. Every time an animal would bear the firstborn male, dad would walk into that place where the animal was born and either slaughter it or redeem it. Are you catching this? Now, the son's going to wake up one day and go, "Dad, I'm not sure if you know this, but we're in the rancher business. And every time a firstborn is born, you kill it." That don't make any sense to me. Because that's what you're cutting into our profits, Dad. Do you understand that? Every time the firstborn is born, you're cutting off our prophets. Now, just so you know, this is where it takes true faith, because I don't know if you know this, but cows only have one at a time. Are you catching this? And so what would happen is when it would have one, it would slaughter it. It would dedicate the firstborn to God, not knowing if the cow that had that one would ever have any more cows. See, we have it easier because we know most likely we're going to get another paycheck. We know most likely that next week I'm going to get paid again. They would have to wait months for another baby to be born from that same animal. And so the son's looking at dad confused, going, "Dad, I don't understand. Because every time the firstborn is born, you slaughter it. What are you doing? We need to make more money, Dad. What are you doing?" The dad's going to look at his son. Say, "Son, I don't think you know this, but there was a day when we didn't have any cattle. There was a day we didn't have anything but God, with a mighty hand, rescued us from the enemy." See, some of you don't get it. It still doesn't make any sense to you. See, tithing to God isn't about law to me. It's a way of life. And when my sons ask me, "Dad, we could have bought a car with the money. Why did you give all that money to the church?" I'm going to say, "There was a day Dad didn't have no money. There was a day Dad was a liar and a cheater and a drug addict. And I didn't even have salvation. But God, with a mighty hand, extended His grace, gave me a second chance, restored my marriage, and redeemed my family." And so, son, we offer this to God because we owe Him everything. And this will be a sign to future generations that we will honor God, not with just our lips, but we will honor God with our heart. This isn't about law. This is the way of life. See, some of you need to understand something. You don't have nothing apart from God. And here you go, keep hoarding and hiding. See, you can't even say "but God" until you start giving stuff away. Because until you start giving, that's when you bought in. But God, with a mighty hand, delivered me and rescued us. We didn't have anything. I didn't have anything. Why is tithing so hard? You don't have nothing apart from God. And here we go trying to argue with God about 10 funky percent. Are you serious? He can have it all. All of it is His. Why? Because He rescued us with a mighty hand. Some of you sitting in this room, you don't believe in Jesus, and this message is confusing the heck out of you. Let me tell you something. He wants to rescue you, not so you will pay Him money. He doesn't need your money. But those of us that have been rescued, we say, "God, we honor You with our first and our best, because You gave us Your first and Your best. And You rescued us." And we won't make excuses. We won't try to prioritize You. We won't try to make You fit in our budget. There is no budget. You are the budget. Next week, we're going to be talking about stewardship. Because it's one thing to give to God. It's another thing to manage the rest that God has given you to manage. It's important, people. If you're not giving to God, you're living on less than God's best for your life. Let's be honest. By a sign of hands, how many of you can say, "But God rescued you"? This isn't reflecting the stats. What's it worth to you? And just so you know, I'm going to say this one last time, because this is just the part of me that I hate it. You don't have to give anything. But don't blame it on the preacher. Don't blame it on the church. Don't blame it on "you don't have enough." Don't blame on the when and then. Don't make any more excuses. Just be honest and say, God, you don't have all of my heart yet. Help me to give you my heart. Because when I give you my heart, this money won't mean nothing to me. And anybody that's a tither will honestly tell you, it doesn't mean anything to me. He can have it all. $14,000, that's nothing. I know some of you are like, that's more than... Look, I never thought I'd ever be able to give $14,000. You're looking at a second year senior. But God, with a mighty hand. Truth is, we're about to pray. If you are not honoring God with your first and your best 10% of your income, at least, you are in direct disobedience of God. And you are robbing Him.